Will Shelton from GameDay on RockyTop.com. Will, we appreciate the time as always. And Brian Maurer made his first career start last week for Tennessee. It didn't all go great, but early on, things really went well for him and the offense. What did you take away from his first start and where Tennessee may be able to go from here with Brian Maurer starting at quarterback?
So I thought the first touchdown, obviously a great moment, but it would have been easy if it was just that for folks to say, all right, Chaney was at Georgia, he drew something up that was effective, good throw, good job by Callaway, all that stuff. But it was really everything else to me, the rest of that first half, and a couple throws later in the second half, that give you at least the possibility that when we're trying to figure out Jeremy Pruitt, when we're trying to figure out where this thing is headed for the long term, not just the rest of this season, and most of us in doing that calculation for a while now have been assuming that that was going to be led by a quarterback not currently on Tennessee's roster, Harrison Bailey, you know, somebody else. Now you at least can kind of pencil in that maybe Maurer could be a solution for you beyond just being better than Jarrett Garantano right now. We need a lot more data on this kid. Going to get a good look at him this week against a defense that isn't, you know, not number three Georgia or anything like that. But he was just so much better, we wrote on our site, so much better than all these other guys we've seen recently as midseason replacements at Tennessee in their first start. Better than Garantano, better than Dobbs, better than certainly Nathan Peterman, better than Justin Worley. So the bar on that was really low in terms of what you get in a first start from quarterbacks in that situation, but he certainly cleared it there, even struggling in the third quarter. So, again, we'll see. You don't want to put too much on him too quickly. We know Alabama's coming next week, so this is kind of a big one here Saturday in terms of the early impression and his narrative that we'll get going forward. But, yeah, a lot more fun this week for all of us involved, I'm sure.
So, Will, if you're helping Jim Chaney or you're a fly on the wall in the room and he's putting together the offensive game plan, I mean, how do you set Brian Maurer up for success to take a step forward against a Mississippi State defense who is still a solid defense, but like you said, it's not Georgia from last week?
So some of the things I think that were essential to Garantano having success are still going to be true here. Tennessee needs to stay ahead of schedule. Mississippi State is really good on third down defensively. Some of that is skewed because Auburn didn't need a lot of third down to do what they did against them, but you want to keep things on schedule. You don't want to be falling back on a lot of third and eights when Tennessee can't be mysterious or anything like that. And you want to be more successful in the red zone. We still saw, I know it's backups on backups, but still, Garantano last week having first and goal at the five at the end of the game and not being able to get it into the end zone, that has killed Tennessee all year. It hurt him against Georgia State. It hurt him against BYU, certainly. So you need to be efficient against the Mississippi State defense that we wrote today. They have turned teams away completely five times in the red zone on 20 tries. That's pretty good. But when teams do score on them, they score a touchdown against Mississippi State in the red zone 13 out of the other 15 times. So opportunities are there. Just some general stuff of don't get too far ahead of yourself. Every freshman quarterback that has ever played at Tennessee has a disastrous game in them. Eric Ainge had one against Auburn. Casey Clawson in the Cotton Bowl at the end of the year against Kansas State. Something bad is almost guaranteed to happen to a freshman quarterback in the SEC. You want to do whatever you can to make sure this is not that week, that we're not, you know, Tennessee's not giving him too much too soon. Tennessee's not asking him to do things that you know, might be a step or two ahead. If they just, I think, can play clean and stay ahead of schedule, there's not a whole lot to me that's convincing about Mississippi State's offense that makes you think you got to get incredibly aggressive to try to win this game or anything like that. So I think, again, a lot of what they wanted to do with Garantano so far this year is going to be a lot of the same stuff that's going to find success for Maurer this week.
Will Shelton is with us. Game day on RockyTop.com, the website. Will, how much does the Tennessee fan base need Tennessee to win this game tomorrow against Mississippi State?
Well, certainly any of the bowl conversation that folks at halftime at Georgia last week, everyone started talking about again. You need to wait and see if Tennessee can win this game. If Tennessee can win this game, then you can reignite a bowl conversation because you know you're taking a loss next week anyway. So then you can start having all right, can Tennessee win four out of the last five games? And if they get Mississippi State, that's at least a conversation that you can entertain. The biggest thing to me, too, about the bowl conversation is you just want it to stay alive as long as possible for interest level. So, yeah, sure, they could lose to Mississippi State and lose to Alabama and then run the table, I guess. But that also introduces the possibility that if you lose to South Carolina, you're 2-7 and out of it entirely before we even get to November. So even if Tennessee finishes 5-7 this year, which, I mean, honestly, at this point, that would probably be somewhat of an accomplishment for Brian Maurer to get him back to 5-7. The longer it takes them to get that seventh loss, the more interest you're going to maintain for fans. So, you know, I know you guys just had Barnes on his press conference. It's usually that it would be the UAB week this year where you have that non-conference homecoming early November game. That's usually when the focus kind of begins to shift toward basketball around here. I think if Tennessee loses, even in a compelling game, if they lose with Alabama coming next week, a lot of that basketball conversation is just going to come and fill in that void. So, yeah, it's an opportunity, the likes of which Tennessee hasn't had since the BYU game. But because they didn't get BYU and obviously didn't get Georgia State, yeah, you need this one to maintain the interest that was kind of rekindled this week.
Well, let me ask you about Tennessee's defense. Henry Toa and Daniel Batuli played, it looked like, you know, close to every single play, 65-plus plays last weekend. Can those guys at the middle linebacker spot, can they do that 2 weeks in a row against SEC opponents?
Some of that's interesting, too, in terms of how they do Maurer. If they want to go faster, then you're going to ask those guys probably to be in that kind of situation. I think those two guys certainly now have vaulted to the top of the absolutely cannot get hurt list for Tennessee. I know there's a lot of offensive linemen that are banged up, but you're just alarmingly thin there now at that position. And I know folks want to get excited about guys like Crouch or others that may can do a couple of things, but there's nobody else that's going to give you all of those snaps at middle linebacker besides those two guys. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, I think, for Pruitt, who, as we know, last year Tennessee ran fewer plays than any team in the country in 2018. Is there going to be that tendency to back off the gas, even if that helps Maurer a little bit, because you're still not only trying to protect your defense overall, but you've just, I think, got to watch the snap count for those two guys. I feel bad for Toa, especially because, as we know, freshmen are going to hit walls. That sort of thing is going to happen. But, yeah, asking him to play every single snap, it just kind of accelerates that process, or at least it seems like it might cap his ability to really grow because he's just got to always be out there. He never gets a breather and never gets a break. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see when they're not playing a team like Georgia, again, that they know can come down the field and score on them really every single time. Are they going to be faster on offense? Are they going to be more aggressive? Or does that issue, especially at linebacker, make them say, let's kind of slow it down a little bit, do some of what Tennessee did last year, and just kind of give ourselves a chance to have an opportunity later in the game instead of trying to run away from Mississippi State the way Auburn did?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, Will, that this is the first real test for Tennessee in the last few weeks. I say that meaning we had a good idea Tennessee was not going to beat Georgia or Florida. In the Chattanooga game, it would go the other way. So it's since the BYU game, this is one where we're going in wondering if Tennessee can win, and Tennessee's an underdog, but it's absolutely a winnable game against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, we wrote today, and other people have said this too, this feels like the first game all year here, Game 6, where the matchup itself is like the most compelling storyline. The BYU game would have been that if they beat Georgia State, but then we spent all week talking about Georgia State instead. And then when you lose to BYU the way you lose, we spent all week talking about that, really, instead of talking about it. And still, another two touchdown underdogs against the Gators. So this is the first one where the thing I have wanted to say all week, and I'm not sure that this is exactly true, it's probably just the things Tennessee fans want to talk themselves into. We want to talk ourselves into this is a toss-up, right? This is a 50-50 proposition. It's probably more like 60-40 Mississippi State, that kind of thing. But that's the idea, that this is Tennessee's going to have a respectable, reasonable opportunity to go out and win this game against a team that's 3-2 and had some hype coming into the year, and now, you know, rightfully has lost some of that by losing to teams like Kansas State at home. That makes you think Tennessee is going to have a chance to win this game. So yeah, it's a nice kind of week here in terms of interest and investment and opportunity, which means it's very important that Tennessee goes out and gets this win So South Carolina can then feel like that in a couple of weeks, and you can just kind of keep carrying that conversation forward.
Looking ahead, need to get a win against Mississippi State. What's going on right now, Will, when Tennessee fans check out GameDayOnRockyTop.com?
We looked at all the opposing quarterback numbers against Mississippi State today. Again, that's a little skewed because Bo Nix was so good against them, but Kentucky, obviously, with a backup quarterback, was really bad against them. So Maurer is, I'm sure, going to be somewhere in that spectrum. He's not going to have the kind of day Bo Nix had against them, but you hope he's not 15 or 41 or something like that that Kentucky was against them. So where's he going to fall on that spectrum? We took a look at that today. As we said earlier this week, at just what have Tennessee quarterbacks done in their second start as a midseason replacement? The good news about that, Dobbs against Auburn in 2013. Garantano played Alabama in his second start, so I wouldn't count that, but he was much better in his third start against Kentucky. Justin Worley in the infamous Derek Brodus frat house kicker game in 2011.
Oh,
much better back
best.
Then. So, yeah, shout out to Alcoa High School, Derek Brodus. But the notion that, you know, oh, guys regress in their second game, we haven't seen that, at least in those three guys, unless they were playing Alabama. So there's some hope there that Maurer doesn't have to automatically take a step back because the other guys didn't. So that's on our side as well, and we'll have the expected win total machine out there on Monday morning, hopefully with folks talking about, all right, how close can we get to six wins on this thing if Tennessee's able to get the job done on Saturday.
It's a big one tomorrow. Tennessee and Mississippi State, they've got you covered. GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for moving some things around for us today, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, y'all.